Father of spirits, we look to you tonight and we say thank you. Thank you. Father of spirits, we recognize you. Our heavenly Father, we reverence you tonight, just celebrating you. You give good gifts. You give the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You give power. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Thank you for tonight. Senegeneosia, for that which you are set to do in our midst. Oh, Lord, we just come to you. Not looking to any man, but just looking to you, our Father. Our Father, our Father, our Father. He said, if you being evil know how to give good, how much more your heavenly Father will he not give you the Holy Spirit? We thank you, Father, for measures that you will add tonight. We thank you and trust in you, Lord. We just trust you. We trust you. We trust in you tonight, Lord, that you will take over and you will satisfy us with your Spirit. You bless us with your Spirit tonight. You bless us with so much help, so much help. He said the Spirit helps our infirmities. That you will bless us and help us in the places that we are not firm, even to be able to press into this entrance before us. Thank you, Jesus. Just bless your name, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. In Jesus' name we've prayed.
Katosha, Melekesanta, Mana Hastevante Gadagadosha, Prakatania, Fena Makatoshta Pranta Levenata, Capianta, Fenaita, Fena Manata, Castavena, Fenama, Frenama, Frenama, Pranama, Prakatania, Retatatatamia, Casuntoloposta. O prehata, fenahata, fenahata, ifrenamahata, ekrenta la mahata, frekatenia hata, protomahata, ikrenta mahata, prekatemi hata, elamahata, ifrenta mahata, prekatemi hata, ifrenta mahata, ekentu mahata, pre mahata, ekrenti hata, prente mahat, efrente mahata, ikentu hata, mahata, ikamtu mahata, ekomtu mahati la mahata, iprente mahata, ikrente father's hata, eprema father's hata, ipro my father's hata, ekrentu my father's hata, likatosa prente leganata, the desire of my father, the desire of my father, the desire, the heartbeat of my father is for men. It is men. It is men. It is men. Even the father seek at men, looking for men, looking for men, 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 men. That's why I was sent. Even I, his son Jesus, I've been sent. I've been sent to come to turn men, to turn men, to turn men from the claws of death and from the power of Satan, to propose to print a need to turn men, to turn men, to turn many, many, many men, to turn men, to turn men to God, to turn men to God from the power of Satan, even unto God, to turn men, even into the kingdom of my, even the kingdom of his son, even into my kingdom, even the kingdom of his dear son. I see power, power, power. I bring power to turn, power to turn, power to turn men, to turn men, to turn men. For you see, Malakaso Ponte Venata, even I, the King of Kings, I'm in the house. I am in your midst, and where the word of a king is, there is power. So there is power in your tongue. There is power in your lips. There is power. For this fantali pakose prantali. For the word of the Lord is in the house. So there is power in the house. Power to turn. Power to turn unto God. Power to turn to God. Power to turn. So ufatoni ateta, for you are standing. You are standing. You are standing on a platform filled with grace, filled with anointing, filled with grace. So speak, speak, for it is the King that speaketh through you, and there is power where the word of the King is. Power to turn. Power to turn. Power to turn even unto light, even to the kingdom of his dear son. There is power in the house, says the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Panahasta Kalamarata Panahate. Thank you. Thank you. Prahata miate fanta lamanaita. Kekekepetiata tetetetemena cassante tetetetanta. Kekekekanita. Mekekanta. Fenacanta. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Patenaita, fantenaita, kakaka patanomata makatuma ketemeketa Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pate Fata. I bring helper. I bring great helper. I bring helper. I bring help. I bring so many, 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 many help. Even I, Jesus, I'm in your midst with my host, with my angel and his host and my host. Many, 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 many sons. Sons who should help those who should be heirs of salvation. I bring help. I bring helper, for you see, the help I bring you is yet for now, and it's yet for ages and years to come. I bring helper. I bring helper. I bring helper. I bring so many, 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 many helper. Even my angel. Even my angel and host encamped round about you. From there are many, many, many with you than those who are against you. So I bring helper. I've brought you helper. I've brought you great helper. I bring you helper. Even in the now, even in this room, I bring you helper. And even afterwards, and as you go day by day, I bring you helper. For there are many, 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 many with you than those that are against you. So stand in this confidence, because you are an heir of salvation, and there are ministering spirit to minister to you, to help you, to help you to get God. To get God, to get God, to get God, to get my Father, to get my Father, to get my Father. For si sepote tita fete ni pato 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 patosa. Get a good ghost. Help, help. I bring help against foul birds, against foul spirits, against foul devils. I bring you help. I bring you help. I bring you help. Even the seso satanian. Matter, even ministering spirit are with you. They are with you. They are encamped round about you. Even the Lord Jesus I've sent them. I've sent my angel and his host to help you. To help you, for to minister, and even those to minister unto you who are heirs of salvation. So there is great helper. You are not without help. You are not without help. You are not without help. Walk in this confidence, walk in this grace, walk in this boldness that you are with help. You are with help from on high. Help from on high. Help that is greater than any other help that you can ever get. I bring help. I bring help. I bring help in this season. For many are your adversaries, but greater are they that are with you, and stronger are they than your adversaries. So stand in this help, stay in this help, and you would enter into the door before you, says the Lord Jesus.
Lord, we just bow before you, we reverence you, we recognize dignitaries in our midst. Lord, we thank you for what you have started already. We look to you, Lord, to work in us. Lord, we are looking to you for help. I'm looking to you for help, Lord, that I will not stand in the way of that which you want to do, but that you will help me, Lord, to find grace, just to connect that grace that is in your heart, to be able to say the things that you have me say, Lord. Just trust that you help every heart, Lord, to connect the blessing that you, who is in the house, wants to give. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen, amen, amen. In my heart, something was quickened. Just a huge, I don't want to call it weight of thanksgiving, or for just, you know, all that the Lord is doing, right? And you know, it was almost like I was being taken back to like the beginning of the year, how faithful God has been in year 2025. And it was very interesting because we ended last year prayer meetings right before the crossover with the thought of obedience. That was what they were teaching for at the School of Spirit prayer meeting, and it was quite rich, like the Lord blessed us. So I remember when it was time for SOS and we're waiting on the team, just me waiting on God's servant to give us team so that
we can, you know, walk on fire and all those things, you know. We're just trying, laboring, you know, what is in the heart of God. And of course, we could not really pick like the design right, the way it was supposed to be. And we're still waiting for the theme. And when God's servant finally told me the theme, he just mentioned it to me that, you know, the invisible things of God. So that was actually my reaction. I was just like, wow. Like, then he now said something. He said, it's not different from what we've been learning, right? I'm going somewhere with all the stories. And then we, you know, Daddy came, and Daddy, you know, by God's mercy, began to, you know, open that whole subject up, praise God. And we were so blessed at SOS. And right after SOS, so it's almost like God's servant now went back to that same Romans chapter 1, right? And we stayed there on the visible things of God, you know, seeing what the eternal power, the Godhead, and those things. And it was almost like the Lord then took us, you know, to the emphasis of the Word of God. And again, we stayed there for weeks because He wants to bless us with something. You know, different expressions in the course of the year. We've had family meetings. We've had spirit-driven entrepreneurship. You're just seeing that really, 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 the Lord is giving us so much at this time. Not just in words, as it were, but through the vehicle of words, they are supplying so much to our vessels. And that was just what I was seeing in my heart. And just so much thanksgiving. So much so that a few meetings ago, we were right here and ministry of the Lamb was being touched. You know, different times we will hear tongues, interpretation, talking about the presence of Jesus as the Lamb of God. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the Bible says in that book of Hebrews chapter 12, say, yeah, come to Mount Zion. Then he was telling them things that are in that mountain so that you'll be aware of where you are. And a good response when you are aware is thanksgiving. That was just what I was seeing, that thanksgiving, because it's great mercy that will bring us to this threshold that we are. You know, you hear things like there's a door before us as a company. And we know that when a conversation of a door opens up, it's because they actually want to bless you with life. That's actually what the door, you know, it says you should ask and you shall receive. She should seek and you'll find, and you should knock and the door will be opened. Then I like the next verse. It said, he that asketh, receiveth; he that seeketh, findeth; and he that knocks, the door shall be opened. That's how it is rendered. So the things that we are finding mercy to touch now, they are not just maybe things somewhere. Like, they actually, see, it shall. This is Jesus speaking that it shall be opened. So that means that they really are working on us to be able to give us the ultimate thing, which is the allocation of life in this season. And that is something that is worth a lot of thanksgiving. Because, like I always say, when this conversation of ministry of the Spirit started, one of the little things I just saw in my own corner was that when you're hearing all these things, spirits, life, all these things, is that there are things that you can either have or not have. So it's not just about knowing something. It's that in you, right, those things can either be there. Like how we say, add to your faith, patience, right? Not to your faith, knowledge, virtue, knowledge. Pastor has preached that those things are spirits. There are things that can either be in you. He says, if these things be in you, and they abound. So they can either be in us or they are not in us. And if they are not in us, boy, they are not in us. So for them to be ministering these things, for the Lamb of God, you know, Sati, when he was leading prayers, was telling us that if the entrance we need this season is milk entrance, it's there. If it is Christ entrance, it is there. If it is everlasting life entrance, it is there. If you want to press into eternal life, God, it is available. So, but it's not just, because he says the Lamb of God who will feed and lead. So I just want us to just thank them, to thank heaven, to just, from our hearts, just to recognize what they are doing, because these are not man's things. No, these are things that will take us to that very place that is in the heart of the Father. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. And we recognize your presence here. We recognize you, the worker, the chief worker, the one working in us, that which is well-pleasing in your sight. We recognize you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all you are supplying. You're supplying so much to your people to move us into places, areas that we have never touched, that we have not touched, areas that the devil has worked in us not to be able to enter. You are the one guaranteeing this entrance, even praying, interceding, coming, ministering, adding things to us. We thank you, Jesus. We recognize you, even for grace you're supplying to our pastors, to our shepherds at this time, to be able to feed, guide, teach, and even instruct, exhort. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we're giving thanks. John chapter 6. Let's just see something. Actually, no. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. So I'm just going to try, by the help and grace of God, to, I don't know, take things from different things that are being ministered at this time, and even from probably some old, because those ministrations, they're actually not old. They are ever fresh, ever new. So to take from some of those ministrations, maybe to just paint a picture, the picture I am seeing in my heart, and just following from prayers, to kind of make a case as to why, for example, all the prayers that were led today, why we need power indeed, right? And it is so interesting how the Spirit of the Lord started with us to show us that really power is what can cause movement, because that is actually what is before us, is how do we actually move, right? In Hebrews chapter 1, looking at the person of our Lord Jesus, very popular scripture we know, right? God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, at in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. If we look at this, it paints a picture of what he said, God has spoken to us by his Son. And the way I see it, or maybe just from teaching, of course, we know that God was not just speaking for speaking's sake, right? Many a times when God speaks, it's because he wants to do something. So he's going to declare it. He's going to make it manifest, you know. And he said that he spoke to us by his Son. So that's the finished work, as we've been learning, right? And, you know, following the scripture to chapter 2, he talked about the fact that Lord himself, he is speaking things of so great salvation, right? And we know that even, I think, flowing to like chapter, towards like 8, or is it 5 or 8, I'm not too sure now, that talks about him having an excellent ministry, right, from the right hand of the majesty on high, because he himself wants to do a work, right? And I think during prayers today, so I can't remember which one of Pastor T or Uncle Inka that, you know, spoke about the fact that when he was on the earth, right, we know he went about trying to, if I can use this word, following the work that the Father had wrought in him, obeying the Father. And in John chapter 10, is it 10? We said, the Father which dwelleth in me doeth the work. Exactly. Uh-huh. And I think he had mentioned, if you can help me find it. Sorry, I'm just trying to capture something first before we push. Okay, John 14, awesome. So when he was talking about the work that the Father did, right, at some point, he then likened the work to words. I don't know if you can help me find it. Basically, okay. Oh, that's it. Thank you. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. It says, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So portions of the works, because one was actually one of Jesus's main thrust when he came here. Of course, he came to chart a different course, right? But also in living, it was almost like he was testifying of something greater that exceeds anything that man can conceptualize, which is the Father being able to deal with his Son. And he was talking about the fact that the Father that is in him doeth the works, but in a way, those works were finding manifestation as words. And thankfully, by the help of the Spirit, because we know that Scripture says that holy men speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And God's servant has said it many times that one of the purposes of Scriptures is for those that will come later, you know, to be able to read and come into the true understanding of the things that are being said. But in that John chapter 6, which is where I was trying to get to, going down this route, it says there, 63, very popular scripture. Is it 53? It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So after works that were being done, right, there were manifestation of those works as some kind of words that he spake as he went around interacting with different people. But if we bring this to, let's say, the emphasis of what the Lord has been blessing us with recently, seeing that spirit, life, these things are not just things that man can just access, right? Which are the things that Jesus said when he is speaking. This is actually what those things are. By mercy, precepts can be seen, but when he said what those things really are, they are spirit and they are life. Let me use like last week's example. They are animals. Can we say that they are living things? They have speed. So does that then mean that these people, if they did not have the, because by this time he had not died, so the work of the Holy Ghost, let's say coming in Pentecost and all those things, they had not happened at this point. So one thing I was just seeing is most likely those people around that Jesus was talking to, walking with, they were not really able to catch these things. I don't know, do we agree? Because it says they are spirit and they are life. And one thing that God's servant has been laboring is to show you that spirit and life is not just something that is just apparent that you just grab. There's actually like, there are things that must be done in the back end to equip you. So that means that, but we know that from scriptures, people that interacted with him, that saw him, that moved with him, they definitely got things from him. They were blessed in different measures. Praise God. For example, John chapter 4. Let's look at that woman. He came to her, right? And he told her that conversation. Oh, good. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him and he would have given thee living water. So he could give living water. But she, you know, there was a conversation, but eventually, from understanding and help that has been coming, we know that it's not like she got this living water, eventually, right? But she got, and I think God's servant, Daddy Oyegoke, was one crossover night like that. He was showing that based on her building, the best thing she could get was actually a word of knowledge, which is actually more of a gift of the Holy Ghost, or a gift of the Spirit, rather than the gift of God, which he really wanted to give. I don't know if you are seeing it. So she got something, and whatever she got, you know, God's servant has been teaching us that many of those people that interacted with Jesus, a lot of them, based on the contact, it is possible that after he left and the church started, you know, they would have been able to follow, you know, follow and then actually now come to the full realization of, you know, all his appearances. Like we're learning two Saturdays ago, right, when he was talking about the fact that, see, who Jesus, I think they beheld him, right, as of the glory of the Father, who is full of grace and truth. And one label that God's servant was trying to say is that Apostle John, when he was writing that thing, was not just writing about a certain thing. He was writing about his fullness, the fullness of his entity. So that would have meant that Jesus, with respect to the first church, came at different points in time, you know, to bless them, to get them to that place. But what I'm trying to show is that they got something interacting with him, but we can deduce that they did not get spirit and life, which he said that is the primary reason why he came in John chapter 10. It says that, "I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly," right? So where I'm going to is just to see that, and another example is the woman that was also in adultery, right? She was caught, and you know, Jesus came and Jesus spoke to her and said, "Go and sin no more." But this woman too, God's servant has said that it's almost like she came into something which we can call, let me say, spirit at a measure, right? But the life portion, she must, and God's servant even used that as an example that most likely she too, maybe when the apostles left, right, would have joined the church and followed to be able to come to the full inheritance of what he actually wants to give, which is, as a people, we found mercy is the same thing that is being offered to us right now, to see it in the right way. Praise God. Book of John chapter 1. Sorry, I'm just going around all the, a bit of the labels that I've gone in the past to just maybe show something. John chapter 1, right? Verse 16. Okay. All right. So sorry. Okay. All right. 14. It says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Right? So God's servant was also showing us that really, when it came down to it, when the apostles were painting the person of our Lord, this is actually what Apostle John, who had a very high revelation, was able to come to, that when you behold him, or he said they were able to behold him because of a work that had been done in them at this point, they were able to see that he's full of grace and truth. So where I'm just going is, this is the visage of Jesus that is being ministered to us at this time, right? But and thankfully, based on last week Wednesday, we were saying that really, we cannot even see this thing without, of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, which is that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost being with us all, right? And we thank God for all the help in seeing to a large degree what this communion is, which is being able to follow or being able to obey leadings of the Holy Ghost, right? Whereby he's able to shed himself to us, for us to be able to actually eat the next allocation, right? For us to actually be able to push into the love of God. But, you know, God's servant now majored on this part of the thing of grace and love, just as an example, that those are really, the things in the spirit, right? Uh-huh. Just looking at the tongue that came, you will see in that book of Acts chapter 3. Acts 18. Okay. Acts 3. Okay, I'll just start from 15. It says, "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, true faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. The faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And he says, "And now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And one of the things we've been seeing from previous teachings is that this subject matter of repentance really is because when man, there's what man is, and after the fall of man, there is a way man went, right? So Jesus died, and of course, if you believe in him in your heart and confess him with your mouth, you know, you come to salvation. You are quickened in your spirit, right? So your spirit is alive. And of course, we've also been taught that we commune with the Holy Ghost to a point where we can actually begin to touch the things of Christ. And one of the things that God Seven had preached in the past is that that thing with Christ is the ability to unwind man, right? Or take man back to the point of the beginning. So that's one of the purpose of Christ, to really see that Christ is not, is very necessary for us to even begin to talk about this entrance that is before us and all this. And so he said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." A scripture that bears witness is that place where he was talking about the little children. I think it's in Matthew chapter 18. If you can just open it to me, just to compare it, right? It says, "At the same time came disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Right? Then Jesus called a little child, right, unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." So that's like the Christ program. It says, "You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So that Christ program, as we have been taught through different teachers and pastors and shepherds, brings us to a threshold of an entrance, right? It says, "You shall not enter." And then the next verse, right? It says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So now there's the entrance. But what I'm just trying to, you know, put some backstory, just something I see quickly in my heart is, by mercy, as we are journeying, one of the times the Lord spoke, he said, there's a door that is before us that we ought to press into. And we know that after that, let me say, ministration, right? The next thing we began to see was the conversation went back to the building of the house of the Lord. And we're seeing that, you know, that house must be built in the place of rest, right? Or with fullness of joy. So the Lord has been showing us through different angles how to actually enter into that divine realm or that divine space, as we are being taught, right? And a key thing to note, if we're using the children of Israel as an example, we can take a few lessons from their own journey when it pertained to the subject matter of entrance. So let's look at Exodus 15 or Exodus 14. Um, 13. He says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So they're about to move them into conversation of salvation, albeit the first part of the conversation, because we've also been taught that the children of Israel, they were born in Goshen, right? So that's kind of like our born again estate. So when he said, let my people go that they may serve me, they had to journey. And sorry, I can't open too many things. I'm just trying to get to a particular place to see. So of course they journeyed. And we've been taught that journey from Goshen to the Red Sea is actually not an ordinary journey. Why? Because plagues were involved, right? And God's servant teaching a long time ago was likening the plagues to the operation of the seals, kind of. Just to show that something had to happen, that thing is not ordinary. Because in Goshen, their land was yielding good things. Their plants were big. So they were not like, even though they were in Egypt, it's like we've been taught that thing is like our born again estate. You know, you are in the world, you are prospering and this thing, but God has a totally different journey for you to take, which is for you to come and worship, right? So they had to journey from Goshen, and things had to happen to them. Or let me say, things had to happen to the first layer of worldliness around them, right? For them to make that first movement. But you now see, when it now came to entrance, and this is why I said that the prayers that were led today, they are very important, because you said in the days of your power, the people shall be willing. And that's actually what we need right now. Because when they say there's a door that is open before us, doors you're supposed to go through. But really, the person we are trying to meet on the other side we are going to go through many doors till we conform to the image of the Son of God, or till we look like Him. However, we can't be carrying baggages and different things through those doors. So that's one of the things that makes that thing of entrance very difficult. You know, you hear that, for example, except the camel, it will be difficult for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. So there are riches that have to be shared, things have to be let go of. Whenever a conversation of entrance is beckoning on a people, decisions have to be made, you know, new resolve by the help of the Spirit. So these guys, they got to a point, and Exodus 14:13, it says that Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. So these are a people that they've seen plague, right? They've journeyed. They've killed the firstborn of the children of Israel at this point. So they've seen things. They've seen things. It says there that, it says, fear ye not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians which ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. 14, sir. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. 15 is where I'm going. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. This is always the conversation whenever a door is open. Is that actually, one of the tongues was talking about the fact that he wants to lead many men. And one time, the Lord just laid in my heart that he is not afraid to move all of us through this door that is beckoning. Which is one of the reasons why we were seeing the ministration of the Lamb, right? Seeing that if your own is milk, there's an entrance for you. If your own is Christ, there's an entrance for you, right? Is that the entrance is for all. So it says here that they should all go forward. And I believe this is the call to everybody at this time, that there is a place to press into, right? So, you know, sometimes when you look at this thing, and it was very interesting, I was just looking at this today, was it today or yesterday? I can't remember. Seeing that, it's like there's an instruction for Moses, but there's an instruction also for the people. So Moses and the people, is like they are tied. Sometimes you see, like, so as sheep, as people, sometimes everything just plays together one way or the other. Because when the next verse, I think Moses now cried to the Lord, and the Lord told him that, you know, he should use the rod. And of course, we've been taught that thing of rod is like some sort of spiritual operation through word, right? It says foolishness abounds in the rod, out of a child. The rod of correction will, you know, remove it. So this happened. So you can see that whenever there's an entrance, it's almost like something always wants to make the soul recoil back or refuse that which the Lord wants to do. And those things are like works. Works that, because of how they sit, even if you see, like, I don't know, external evidences, you are being told, you know, there's a door before us, all those things, the heart might not be able to generate this thing because of fear. Fear has a way of putting us in bondage, right? So this is just one of the entrances. The second one I want us to see is, of course, after they entered this place, right, then they got to the wilderness. And they were supposed to have more entrances, of which we've learned that that wilderness season is like the Christ season, where really, 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 they want to prepare us to live by another way. What Pastor was saying, that they now want to begin to deal with the world inside us, right? So they were supposed to journey, move. And it was supposed to be a time thing. But one of the things we began to see in 1 Corinthians 10 now, if you can just see it. Because sometimes when we are reading all these things, you know, it's very easy to just, children of Israel, these people, they are, you know, they are summer and all these things. So really, these guys, they are, by this time, their own is not in profession. It's actually in work. They've entered, if you can permit me to say, some sort of Christ profession proper. Some of us might not even be able to say that genuinely, that boy, I deal with that ness right now, or I did chop meats. Because here, he said they were eating, not so. He said they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they drank the spiritual drink, for the rock, for that rock that followed them was Christ. Let's liken it to what we're learning last week Wednesday. By this time, they have teeth, so their teeth is working. They are eating things, right? They are touching grace. They are moving. They are advancing. But if you go to the next verse, it says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. So sometimes when seasons like this come, the thing is, and that's one of the things I'm saying is, we don't know the issues inside us. Neither do we know what they really want to come and save. Right? It's the God of salvation who has piercing eyes, piercing judgments. So sometimes conversation of salvation might be near us, but we might not see the reason why we need to press in. Like they say, a door can be open. You know, there's a particular scripture. It says the word of the kingdom is in Luke. It says the kingdom is preached and every man presseth into it. I think it's in Luke 16 or thereabout. It's to show that when it's kingdom, right? Thank you, sir. It said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. This is every man. So a door can open, a change of estate can come, but a soul might not be able to find help. This is why we need power. When it comes to all these things of pressing, all these things, you need power, right? You see a lot of times in the scriptures, in the gospels, when they talk about Jesus, you see some people that really encountered him, they say they went against the press. And me, I'm just saying that press they are going against is actually works that I've done inside them. So in that 1 Corinthians 10, it was saying that with many of them, the Lord was not well pleased, right? And, you know, he said many things. He said, lest we commit fornication. Verse 9, lest we tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. He said, neither ye, mama. So we can take our pick. When we read all these things, we can take our pick most times as to things that can easily plague us. And he said that here, their carcasses were just falling. And the way I'm saying that, the carcass falling is just that different things. Just because if they want to save you in a time, like I said, you don't know what they are trying to save you from. So if you don't receive the salvation, I don't know what can happen. But here, you see their carcass fell, right? But 13 is where I'm going. And I believe this is where God's servant ended. He says that he said there are no temptation taking you. Because clearly, all those things were temptations that were happening in the wilderness, right? But the temptation, there was always a way of escape that, let me say, true proper reliance on the giving of Christ, the soul should be able to escape, right? Well, he said there are no temptations. Okay, the previous verse, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So this just goes back to what I was saying, that in terms of like salvation, you know, sometimes we might be prospering so well at an allocation and God is trying to bring something else. God is saying, okay, I've brought a door for you, but you are wondering, why do I need to enter this door? Everything is going very okay. Say that if you think you are standing, take heed, lest you fall. He now goes to 13 and talks about the fact that no temptation are taking you, but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And one of the things we're saying is the only way to escape temptation is through grace. Right? That's one thing God's servant was showing, that it's through that gracious way, not relying on our own strength. Through the supply of Jesus at a given time. That's what we need to eat to be able to escape these things. So in that place, you see that they journeyed, but really the children of Israel, they could not achieve this. So they fell. But Joshua and Caleb, scripture said in them were another spirit, right? And then, of course, there were children that were born in the wilderness. So those were the ones that could come to a place again of another entrance. Because that's actually what I'm seeing in my heart. It's just this thing of entrance, like things that we can, that can help us, you know, let me say, further position ourselves to really receive the blessing that God has. So Joshua and Caleb and the people, they came somewhere else. And towards the end of Deuteronomy, it took God reiterating the laws, right, through Moses to the people of all the things that had happened, places where they fell, things that will happen when they are going into the land. It was almost like he was telling them, this land has, you know, good things. So, you know, get ready. If you do well, if you obey, you will eat, you will do this, your fruits will be nice. If you disobey, cursed are you. In fact, you will fall, all those kind of things. God gave them the program. He had told Moses. So Moses said everything. But you realize that again, after all that was done, Joshua had another spirit. Not so. They still could not enter. Right? They got there. And it took the Lord coming again to minister courage. He says that Joshua should be courageous, right, and be strong to take that land, right? So the way I'm saying it is just, and of course we know that this is a type of entering the divine realm or the divine ground, which is really where the subject matter of building God's house has to be done, right? It has to be done in that realm divine. And we're seeing 2 Wednesdays ago, God's servant was talking about rest, that it's a profession or an ark you build in rest. So if we now go to that 1 John chapter 1, which is actually part of where I was pressing towards. Okay, time. Let's see. 1 John 1. So by now, it says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. But if I can just show something in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus speaking to the disciples. And again, like I said, just gathering different resources as I'm finding in my heart. Matthew 7. just before we go there. It says, Matthew 7:6. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Then it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. These scriptures, they look a bit apart, but we've been taught that they are not really apart. So in that place, it says that when it comes to entrance, right? It says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. And you see that there are two different things, right? Holy things, which we can call spirit things. Substance, things of substance. Sati was leading prayers. He was talking about holiness. That he was raised by the spirit of holiness, right? And by power. And he was talking about that you need power to become holy. So really, when power works on you, the holiness is actually what is inside you, is what you are, is what you are filled with. He says that don't give it to dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. And in one time, God's servant was ministering around this area, showing us that when it comes to pearl, pearl is what they give you as a gate. Right? So, and we can see it in that book of Revelation chapter 21 or 22. If you can help me find it, sir. When it's talking about the 12 gates. Okay, it says the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was one of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent. And one thing God was showing was that you have pearl, holy thing. So it's more like gate and holy thing. So the entrance and reason. So it says, don't give it to dogs, right? Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rent you. These natures, they might look insulting, but these are things we ought to guard against, because these are things that prevent entrance, really. So it differentiates them. It says dog and swine, right? Which, if I remember correctly, in that message, it was saying that swine is an external issue, like how pigs like to play with dirty things, unclean things, and all those things, right? But it was not showing that the thing with dog can actually be clean. But the tendency, thank you, sir, is an inward issue, is that it can return to its vomit, right? Which is what you saw that the children of Israel in that 1 Corinthians 10 were doing. Because they were lusting after evil things, partaking in idolatry and all those things. And these are things that, if we are not helped, we can fall prey to. Because all these things really are what the world has worked over time in ensuring. This is one of the reasons why, even in a season where a door into everlasting conversation can be opening, we might not be able to place the right demand. One thing Sati kept saying is asking, as an example, is that Joshua, when he was at that point, he says he should meditate. He says, let this book of law not depart from your mouth. The laws are laws that God archived. Instincts, allocation of laws that he could give them. So Joshua had to be meditating around those things for that entrance to be guaranteed, which that entrance was actually ended up being obedience and commandments, both for both him and the children of Israel. Because if you read that account of Joshua, he now started sending people. You know, he told some of them, you know, go here, enter Jericho, Rahab, conversations, all those things. These are things that should be happening like inwardly for us. But it was, everything was based on meditation, right? But here, in that place of Matthew chapter 7, one thing you see is those natures are what the world has worked over time. These natures are really the things that Christ's doctrine wants to heal. These are the things that we ought to repent from. You know, you will hear scriptures like, without our dogs, right? Or even Jesus, when that That dog thing is like a Gentilic thing that is not healed. And you know, he said that don't walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. These are all the things that Christ's work wants to begin to heal in a soul. This is the reason why we need to be eating those meat. Because if we don't eat meat, the way this world is designed, you will walk. You will walk after the vanity of your mind. It's guaranteed. If the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord is not lit up in us, helping us, we will definitely walk as other Gentiles and in turn have that dog nature. But the thing is, if you read that verse, Matthew chapter 7, Okay, when he finished, he now said that you should ask and it shall be given you. Then he said you should seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And me, if there's anything that I have come to say really, is that, and this was just what I found in my heart, is that in a season where it looks like the Lord wants to push us, not when it looks like, where the Lord is actually ministering things that should change us, push us. Definitely, because almost like Jesus was saying all these things in a personal term, you should ask and it shall be given you. You should seek and you will find, right? And then he says you should knock and it shall be opened unto you. I'm not saying it as a collective, even though there's a collective sense to it, praise God. But I'm seeing it more as things that everybody individually, in a season where an entrance is being ministered into high conversations, right? Because the next thing, if you read this verse down, right, is it talked about in 13, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein, right? But then it says, narrow is the way. We've been learning that when it comes to way, those are not things that are apparent to us. And he says it's narrow. So we have to ask for mercy. We have to trust Jesus for help and not, you know, just see those things as things that will automatically happen. You know, Satiri, when he was leading prayer, I was talking about the fact that a great and effectual door can be opened. Well, he says there are many adversaries. Those adversaries, they make us too big to enter, too strong to conform to the way that they want to minister to us in the sin. But the first thing Jesus said there is you ask and it shall be given. And God's servant teaching us, he's telling us that when you are asking, you can only ask because you heard something, which is the link with 1 John chapter 1, because it says that which we have heard. So we need to hear something, which God is showing us mercy already. Words, substances, spirits are coming. He says that which you have heard. But then when we hear them, they should generate an honest quest in us. Where we ask, Lord, what is this entrance all about? I desire this entrance. And what God was saying was that the thing that will be birthed when we can find mercy to ask individually is sight can be given to each and every one of us. Because the measure of entrance for Tammy might be different from me. Because that thing of sight is key. Anything that is being ministered, we need to see it in our own terms, which is what God said the other time. We said when the Holy Ghost comes, in a that he can be teaching, right? But he said that when the Holy Ghost is talking to you, he will be showing us in our own, let me say, native tongue of the thing that is making you too big to go through this door that is open, because a door is really opened. Then it says there that when you ask and when you have seen, then you move into seeking. So the thing with something like seeking is you can't really seek if all those things, where I'm saying that we need so much mercy because they are not things we can fake. I think in that Gen Z prophecy, they used to say, call them holy seekers and all those things. Those are not things that if you check, if you just maybe say you just want to use your strength, I'm just going to seek the Lord now, go on a fast. If you don't seek anything, because there is him who you will seek. So that means that they will be showing you, I don't know, Jesus, yourself, kind of like what the gap is. And then you can move into seeking. Because it says in that book of Isaiah, it says that you should seek the Lord while he may be found. And you should call upon him while he's there. And how do you do that? He said, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because by that time, when you have heard and you are asking, and the Lord is showing mercy, we have to tarry, stay in that place of asking. What we'll be seeing is our wrong ways. But you know, bear in mind, this person they are talking to, if we have not even found mercy to do Christ well, oh boy, there's no peace. You cannot even really be calm to enjoy that conversation, if you can. Let me use that word. Sorry, I hope I'm not speaking over the... Okay. So he says that, so we need to see something. What we need to see are our ways. But ways are hidden. They are spirit things. So by this time, the heart is already being helped a lot to be able to see things to forsake. Then you can talk about knocking on that door. And he says, it shall be opened unto you. I know God's servant was ministering the other time. He was saying that ask, seek, and knock. Right? No, sorry, not ask, seek, and knock. Sorry. 1 John 1. Sorry. Forgive me. 1 John. Okay, thank you. It says, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. He said that at that point of handling is grace. So you can see that, but this grace now is not just, is actually the real one. Because he was saying that when it comes to the building of the body, because what he said here is of the word of life. Praise God. One thing we've been learning is when it comes to word is body. Right? And we're learning the other time that the headstone is that they were trying to build a temple, right? And he says, not by power, not by might, but he says, by my spirit. And he will bring forth the headstone with shouting, crying, grace. So when we actually really touch these graces, like God's servant was showing, that these graces are actually how they dispense the Lord to us at every season. By the time we touch these graces, really, we're already escaping a totally different conversation to come to the place that Jesus is. So, the way I'm just saying it is just, this sort of matter of power is something we really need to pray for, because you realize that, it says in that place that all power, in that Matthew 28, not so, is given unto me, like Uncle Inka was reading. Like he said we should go forth, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It says teaching them, teaching all nations, right? And commanding them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we are saying that this thing of power is actually what we need. And this is why our fellowship with the Spirit is not something we can... Because it says in that book of 1 John chapter 1, he was trying to bring them into a fellowship of the Father and the Son. You will see again that Jesus, to show you the power of why we need to ask, Jesus in John chapter 16, he says that hitherto have you not asked me anything. All right? I don't know if you can find it. John 16. It says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. which tallies with also what we see in that book of 1 John chapter 1 as I round up, right? It says what in that book of 1 John chapter 1? It says that which are that these things write we unto you, that your joy will be full. So really, for the conversation of fullness of joy, we have to raise a quest to heaven to ask for these things, that they be done in each and every one of us. That is a very, very pivotal point, that if we really desire that fellowship, we should, in our respective closets, as we are finding mercy, beckon on the one who wants to open that door to us. Because if we can finish that program, it says that the door will be opened unto us. And what is that door? It's door into the everlasting realms, door into conversation of the full conversation of spirit and life. How those things can be constantly interacted with and they can be in us. So that's just what I found steady in my heart to speak about, to see that a lot of what is being ministered at this season is a great offering from the Lord Jesus. You know, in that book of Hebrews chapter 2, when he talked about not neglecting those things, thank you. He says, how shall we escape? What I'm just trying to show is that the things that bind us, the issues, all the things that make us slow are things that we need to escape. But the only way we escape it is to see the importance of this conversation of salvation, of how it pertains to each and every one of us, and none of us is left out. Just like in the wilderness, when it was time for them to enter Jordan, some people would have been born as babies. They expected them to enter. Some would have been like 3-year-old, 4-year-old, but they expected them to enter that land. And there was a provision from heaven. Heaven did not say, only Joshua and Caleb cross, the rest of you stay here. Is that when they open a door, when they want to bless us with life, really, it's actually something for all of us, and nobody is cut out. It's just that there are things or transactions for every soul to do. For example, in that book of Joshua, there was where they told them, the priests, them that are priests, there's a way you have to step and enter. And then the others, they just have to believe that this Jordan that is open right now, if I enter, I will not die. That in itself is a faith, because if you liken it to the conversation in Exodus, hey, that was what they saw. And they're like, oh boy, see, Egyptian, we're not going anywhere. And it was creating a kind of fear. So what I'm just trying to say is, for every one of us, there is a portion we have. But a large part of it is, can we truly desire, you know, stake a case, make a demand for those things? Because that door, they want to actually open it. But if you don't ask, Jesus says, itato, have you not asked anything? We say, if you ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. And the way they are going to give you those things will be through all those programs of you seeing things to forsake, seeking the Lord afresh in your heart, right? And then actually handling those things. So I just want us to, if we can just bow our hearts to the Lord and just, I don't know if this has blessed you, but to just see the need. We need these things. These things, these conversations we are finding at this time, they are not really like optional conversations. When they say there is an entrance before us, even into everlasting things, they are not really optional. It's that they actually want to bless us. But on the back end, sometimes we don't know what they are also trying to save us from. But it is a safe conversation. Can we just ask the Lord for mercy and help tonight? Can we ask the Lord for mercy, that the necessary power we need, that we will come into them, that we will be blessed with them? Morone, 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 kerenos tivente, elia legedeno, elia legedeno, mashia da gedeno, obrene gedesia lagadana, manchechele gedene ketesia.